Hello and welcome to Anatomy of Marriage. I'm your host, Melanie Studley.
What's up, guys? My name is Seth Studley. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. Welcome to the show. We're talking about five marriage myths that need to die yesterday. Go to getfaithful.com/anatomy of marriage to get the therapy help that you need. You've been thinking about it. You've been hearing us talking about it forever. You guys, anxiety, depression, COVID, job loss, family stuff,
all
family of origin, kids, all of it. Seriously, go to getfaithful.com/anatomy of marriage to get a counselor, to talk to somebody. I've done it. I do that for other people. And it works. Therapy is around for a reason. Go to getfaithful.com/anatomy of marriage to get the help that you deserve, that you need, and also your spouse wishes you would do. Getfaithful.com/anatomy of marriage.
Check it out.
Okay, guys.
We're going to dive into the five marriage myths that need to die, like yesterday,
right,
Seth said. And we're just going to dive right in. So marriage myth number one, and Seth doesn't know what these are because he said he didn't want
to
know.
So he's
playing it off the cuff.
That's right.
So marriage myth number one that we have that needs to totally die is that marriage, a good marriage, it's just easy, right? It's easy.
No.
Why not? How come? Why not?
So
anything, bust this myth for
me. Anything worth working for, anything worth attaining, anything worth saying, damn, I work my ass off for that and I'm glad I have it, is going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage, money, savings account, a good family,
right,
unlearning bullcrap that you've learned from family of origin, from culture, from anything, from church even, is hard. It is hard. If it wasn't, then the divorce
Then
divorce would be zero, right? Conflict would be zero. We wouldn't have the need for marriage and family therapists if it was easy. But it is not easy, right?
You know why? Oh, go ahead.
It's not easy because we always go to what we know. We, as humans, we take the path of least resistance. We're like water, right? Water flows downhill no matter what because of gravity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Marriages, relationships, sense of self goes to the easiest thing, right? And it's not, we're just not born with this innate idea to be like, hey, don't do the easiest thing. Do something that's hard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
We just gravitate. Our brains are wired that way. Oh, that made me have dopamine. That gave, you know, a boost of serotonin. I'll do that thing again. Whatever it is. And that's what it is, right? But we buy into the myth of the wedding day. We spend all this money on a wedding day and all this stuff, reception, gowns, blah, 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 grooms, things. And then what we don't pay attention to is like, wow, the wedding was super awesome. Oh, now we're back in our apartment or house or wherever, and you just did something I don't like. What does this mean? Oh, it's not as easy as I thought.
Right.
Right. No, come on. Don't kid yourself. Right.
So then, let's flip it and reverse it and say that a good marriage is actually hard.
A good marriage takes work and it is hard.
And it's completely worth it. So I think for some reason, this analogy keeps coming to my head. If you were just handed a degree to become a doctor, would that be good?
No.
Would that be wise?
Would you even know the things that you needed to know as a doctor? So the lesson is in the hard stuff, right? Like I went to school for a billion years, right? Undergrad and graduate. And I learned very, very, very valuable lessons in doing the work and writing thousands of term papers. Well, not thousands, but a lot of term papers.
Drama queen.
And doing all the work. Oh, guess what? I didn't know that's what I would discover about myself.
Right.
I didn't know that's what I would discover about culture or humanity or whatever.
Manatees.
If I hadn't have done that thing or taken that class that I didn't want to, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I am now.
Right.
So the lesson was in the thing. In fact, I'm going off, people. There was a podcast I listened to last week, and it is not about the goal. It is not about the goal. It is about what you learn while getting to the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like if you've ever been on a long hike or a road trip or something. I mean, we've crossed the country several times in a car, right? And it wasn't just, we got to go from Seattle to Atlanta, Georgia. I just can't wait till I get to Atlanta, Georgia. Oh my gosh, it's
going to
be awesome. And nothing else matters. Are you kidding? Yellowstone, the Rockies, the open plains, the rivers we jumped in, the animals we saw, the truck stops that were just hilarious that we've been to. It's things you experience along the way. That's what matters.
Right.
That's where the work is put in and that's where the payoff is.
Right. And it's similar to, again, to like attaining a degree. So I think of when with our coaching clients, I'll use this analogy because oftentimes certain coaching clients don't want their marriage to be work at all. They want it to be easy. They don't want to think about it. They want it to be like, I don't know, like a house, you just buy it once and it's just there, right? Which that isn't even true. You got to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people have amazing degrees that are our coaching clients. Some of them are, some of them have just astounding degrees that you go, wow, that's awesome. And it took them years to get that degree and they're so proud of it. And they're proud of everything they had to do to get to the place to say, I have this degree.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't look at their marriage the same way and they get mad about it and they oh, it should be easy. It should, whatever. It's like, if it was easy, you wouldn't be proud of it. You wouldn't right. care about it. You wouldn't respect yourself for having earned it, right? A good marriage is something you earn. It's not something that falls into your lap. It is something that you work really hard for and you earn. Amen. Book closed.
Amensk.
Okay.
Number two.
A good marriage means that you never fight.
Hmm.
Is that true? Is that a myth?
Think of your best friend from middle school, high school, college, whatever, your best friend.
Candy Joe. That was my best friend.
Have you had conflict with your best friend before? Most likely, yes. I know that you personally have had like big time arguments with some of your best friends, right?
And I always win.
No, it's not about winning.
I'm just kidding.
It's about resolving something, right? I've had arguments like that with my friends, like big ones, right? And does that mean we're not best friends anymore?
No.
No. It quite oftentimes means, oh, we figured out that shit that was in the way. Now we're better friends.
Right. And
you see
what
I'm saying?
So it says a good marriage never has conflict or you never fight in a good marriage. But, and I want to use the term like conflict as well in that because as we grow, and I don't mean like get old, like I don't mean as we grow older, but as we mature as humans and learn more and experience more, our views, like things come up that are different as we mature, right? So when you're seven, a mortgage doesn't matter when you're seven, but a mortgage matters when you're 37. And to be able to like walk through the complexity of life and understand that each new phase will bring new thoughts, which may bring conflict, which may then bring great resolution, deeper understanding, deeper connection. Like
that's the way
that I want people to think about it. Not I'm right, you're wrong. Ugh.
So here's a perfect example. We've said it 100 times, but the first time that I did this exercise program.
Oh gosh. Yeah. 75
bitching
hard.
And moment.
Moment.
Moment. You were bitching and moaning about it. Well, you could do this. You should what you could
I calculated
wash,
the
you could
hours.
Wash dishes or vacuum or blah, blah, blah for 2 hours. I'm like, yeah, I could, but I'm doing this for me. So like my growth caused conflict, but I knew that it was good for me and I wasn't a douchebag around it. And then guess what? Oh, that conflict turned into something very positive and you turned out doing it as well. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it was a growth area for me that I was of that mindset, like, well, we shouldn't have conflictual ideas. Like, this is stupid. You're being dumb. And I wasn't trying to learn. And
go ahead.
Okay. So as I learned to be more complex in my thinking, there was conflict that resolved in deeper understanding, deeper connection, all of that stuff.
Right. So conflict is a part of every marriage. It's a part of every relationship. The way that you handle the conflict is what matters.
Right.
So you may disagree with the statement if the way that you handle conflict is like, well, I'm super critical. I'm super sarcastic. All I do is criticize and yell and blame and never take accountability. If you're doing conflict that way, then you have a problem, right? But you can do healthy conflict by using the clearing structure, which you can go to our website, anatomyofus.com, and get it. Then that kind of healthy conflict, if resolved correctly, brings growth for both of you.
Right. There was something else I was going to say.
Conflict is fine.
So let's twist it around. Let's flip it and reverse it. A good marriage has conflict in it.
A good marriage has conflict and is resolved constructively and helpfully.
Right. And I think it's important too, like if you are married and have little kids and or want to have kids and don't have any yet, you would do well to learn how to handle conflict in a very positive, growth mindset, goal-oriented, great outcome vibes way, because you will face it your kids.
It would behoove you to
do
that. And here's a little thing. If you guys know that band Limp Bizkit, popular a long time ago.
Jeez.
Fred Durst, the lead singer. So when we were in the band, we were on tour, and somehow I got a hold of Fred Durst's phone number. and left him a voicemail.
Oh, that's right.
And told him it would behoove him to like check out our music. And guess what? I never got a call back. So thanks, Fred Durst. Go work on your marriage.
Yeah, right. But seriously, a good... Oh, hold on. I dropped my sign. A good marriage does have conflict
yes.
in it. And again, conflict is a sign of growth. I just spit when I said
that's
that.
That's okay. Number three.
Number three myth, which is a stupid one, is... Which, again, it's like biblically been misinterpreted for 10 million years. Never go to... Never let the sun go down on your anger and or never go to bed angry. Mm-hmm. That is a myth that has caused us to stay up late 1,000 million times.
Right.
And I want to offer, like a solution to this because I agree with conceptually, like never let the sun go down on your anger. Mm-hmm. It does not mean resolve your fight that night. That does not mean that is not what it means. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I were to restate this, it would be decide not to be mad even if you don't agree on something.
Right.
And then go to bed.
And that's probably what the biblical context is, but we just kind of really effed it up, right? So that could mean like, okay, there's this fundamental problem that me and Melanie have, and I get mad, and now I'm giving her the silent treatment and go to bed. No, don't be an idiot to do that because that's not going to do anything for your marriage. Can I still have the same problem and go, Melanie, you know what? I fundamentally think that we need to work on this and we may disagree on it. However, I'm not going to treat you any differently because you're my partner. We have a shared vision and we're going to work on this. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, there are things between us that need to be resolved. Mm-hmm. Good night. I love you.
Mwah. Right. Yes,
smack
exactly.
on the lips.
Yeah.
Understand
and I think that is obviously challenging, but the way that most people handle it, and we handled it forever was, I mean, I used to actually take that Bible verse very literally and was like, we need to fight till we figure this out, no matter if we fight till 2:30, 1:30, 4:30 in the morning. I don't
You've
even
stolen
care.
Thousands of hours of my sleep.
I apologize.
You owe me.
I do owe you, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I was being so stupid.
Thanks.
But I want to reframe that. And if I could go back in time and tell myself this sentence differently, and I don't know that I ever heard this at church. I don't know if it was just me not knowing how to listen to it correctly. But people, if you disagree with something or your partner hurt your feelings or something went down that was just, it made you upset or whatever, do not stay up late to fight about it. Here's why. When you're tired, your ability to process things, you become impaired. Like it is as bad as drinking alcohol, like drinking and driving is the same as driving tired. Does that make sense?
It's there. Yeah, there's a threshold, but yes.
Yes. I mean, it's so the more tired you are, it's like getting drunk, basically, kind of. it is like from a brain functioning standpoint. Now, obviously, it's not the same sensation, but the way your brain functions, its reactions, it's what it thinks are wise to do is just like being drunk. So the longer you stay up to fight, the dumber you get. Let me say it again. The longer you stay up to fight, the dumber you get. How do I know this? I would record our fights for our podcast and was like, this is the dumbest sentence I've ever said with conviction while crying and yelling.
After 11 p.m., every 30-minute increment, you can subtract 5 years from your age, right? So if you're like 37 and you stay up until 2, then you are like 17 or 7.
Right, that's hilarious.
Having
a
conversation around marriage.
Yeah.
First.
That's a really good way to look at it. But I want to flip that on its head. Never go to bed angry. No, you're welcome to go to bed with hurt feelings as long as at the core you say to your partner, you know, you sit to the four S's or whatever, seen, soothed, safe, and secure. Like, I love you. We aren't in agreement on this thing, but that does not mean I need to be mean to you, that I need to fight with you. We can go to bed well knowing that tomorrow we're gonna feel better and we're gonna have more ability to problem solve. Right.
Oftentimes I believe that in my work and in my own self-work and work with clients, sometimes we argue about things that has nothing to do with the partner. We do things or demand things that has nothing to do with the partner. We demand or do those things to give us a false sense of security and satisfaction. You see what I'm saying? Like, I may touch you or say, hey, what's going on? Only because, not because I care about you, and this is, let's just be real,
right?
Because I care about my feelings more in that moment. We're like, oh, is she okay? Oh, she
You're
gave me a look,
yourself.
She gave me a kiss.
Right.
Now I can function without this weird sense of whatever over my head, right? So a lot of times people go, well, we just got to get this done because it's so hard to go to sleep if I know my mad's, you know my wife is mad or weird or whatever.
Right.
I really don't care if I hurt her feelings. I really don't care that she doesn't feel listened to. I don't care if she feels seen or not.
Right.
I need her to be okay so I can be okay.
Right.
So in that statement, there's a lot of self-work and kicking your own ass that you got to do as well.
Well, and I think that that's the story of why I would fight for so long is most of it was like, well, this is slightly different, but I was just like the most selfish human on the planet. Oh, Seth has to get up and go to work and help people in like a mental health facility. I don't care. I want to fight. Like, it's so stupid. It's so stupid. And we don't have to do it. And you will have nights where you're angry about something or you're hurt about something. That is normal. This bullshit is to be expected. As I say with my coaching clients, go to bed. You'll be fine in the morning. You can work it out then in the light of day after you've had coffee and you've rested and you've done your work and you whatever and you're more centered and balanced. Like, just don't fight when you're tired.
I've said this before. Stephen Pressfield of a lot of awesome books fame that we talked about on the show says that a mature person knows that a project will be basically double the time you allot for it and also double the budget you allot for it.
And any project takes twice as long and costs twice as much.
Right. So expect that. And expect the things that we're talking about to take maybe twice as long as you thought, twice as much work, twice as much heartache. But then on the other side, guess what? You're like, oh, shit, this is even better than I thought.
Right. It has like a compound interest effect that it doesn't even double it. Like,
there's a ratio, right? So the ratio. So, okay, number four.
Okay, number four myth that needs to die. Is that sex will be easy and it will never change. Like, the way I feel about my husband when I'm, you know, 21 and we just got married sexually will be the same, like, forever. And it should always be the same. Is that a myth?
Does your body change? Has your body changed from 21 to now?
Yeah.
Okay. So, has your mind changed from 21 until now?
Yes.
Has your sexual preferences changed from 21 till now?
Totally into girls now.
To some degree?
Yes.
Then why would we expect anything different?
I know. I think this is one of the best myths to bust because it is so, it's so detrimental and damaging to a marriage when people think that their sexual energy, their sexual anything will stay the same, as it does when they're 17, right? Like, think about that. Like, what would you want to have the same car you had when you were 17? Live in the same house, make the same money, eat the same food,
no,
do the same things,
no.
So why should this one component of ourselves stay the same?
Right. Here's a good measure. If you're the same person you were a year ago, you're not working hard enough.
I'm busted.
Right.
I agree.
If I'm making the same amount of money that I was a year ago, what the hell have I been doing for the last year? Unless I said I've hit X number, no more.
Right.
I'm completely fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine.
Right.
The same body weight or the same whatever, the same time spent with your spouse, the same way you interact with your kids, the same way, the same routines you have, then you're kind of just static, means staying the same. And I have to live a dynamic life no matter what. That is like part of my authentic thing. It's
I
like,
think most
I can't
people,
do the same thing all the time.
Yeah, I think most people do, but they don't realize it, but whatever. So again, like sex will be easy and will never change in marriage. That is a terrible myth that we see with clients all the time. It's mostly male clients, and I think that this is why. Men's bodies don't change the way that women's change, especially in childbirth. Again, this is like, I'm broad brush stroking whatever, broad brushing this, generalizing it, that a lot of our female clients who have given birth and have like, you know, 2 to 3 kids that are 10 years old and up, their husbands are like, why can't it just be like it was when we didn't have kids? And their wives are like, sound like that to me. Their wife is sitting over there going like, I don't think the same way I did when I was 19 when we met. Why are you trying to make me as dumb as I was back then? That's what I think. That's how it feels.
As dumb as you
were. That's exactly how it feels. Right. Like, back then, you could impress me by parking a car sideways.
Yeah.
You know what you can impress me with now? Put your freaking tools away, be a good dad, and let's go on a bike ride or something. That I find impressing.
Right.
But not you being able to park a car sideways. Mm-hmm. Got it. It's done.
It'll make you like car sick now.
Yeah. Now I'm just mad because my latte spilled. My pumpkin spice latte spilled.
Right. So think about it this way, dudes. If you were athletic at all in high school or whatnot, and now you're 35, you're 33, 44, whatever, you don't, you can't, or you you don't expect those same things from yourself, right? You can't run a 6-minute mile.
That reminds me of someone I know who shall be unnamed.
Me? Are you talking? Oh.
Like, he did sports in high school, right, and never did them outside of high school. Now
this is
he's
an older
his,
guy. This is not a client.
He's in his 60s, but it's like 70s. You would think that he, you know, by the way he talks about himself,
right,
as if he's out there, you know, jogging right, 10 miles every day and doing push-ups. He ain't done those things since
so
he was 18.
You may not expect that of yourself, but I am proud to say that I weigh like what I did in senior year of high school, right, and I can bench press what I did at the peak of my whatever,
right,
senior year of high school. Right. So, oh, I can do that. How the hell did I get there? With a lot of work.
Right.
So sex will not be as easy as it was when you were 21, but you can make a new easy.
Right. And
you
easy
understand
is
what I'm saying?
Easy is, it's interesting. There's a difference there. So it's like saying, I think easy is not the greatest word there, because I think when you're younger, obviously you have a lot more sexual hormone just like coursing around your body,
right?
That's like a part of it. But as you develop as a human, you have life experiences with your partner, sex can become something unbelievable that wasn't available to you when you were, you know, in late teens, early 20s, early
married.
Yeah,
because it's a whole different sense of connection and
right,
pleasure. It's just oh, let's get in the car, nobody's here. Right?
That sound is so gross and
I know,
so
but
funny
you love it. You
every,
laugh time. At it every
time. It's so good.
So it's just very different. So just, you know, let's put it into perspective there and don't get weird and butthurt about, well,
should be doing that.
You did this when we were whatever, you know. And hello, as you get older, there are legit medical issues too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
but
just,
if you have those,
yeah,
be smart about them. Go to a naturopath or something like that, or
right,
eat vegetables more.
But so let's turn that one on its ear. Sex will be easy and never change. Sex will be complex and it will evolve. Make that a part of your exciting journey, that sex will evolve.
Some
right?
growth mindset language there. I
mm-hmm.
like it.
That's right. The last one, myth number 5, is you complete me.
Jerry Maguire style?
Yeah. You know what I say that?
What?
Forget that. All
Forget
day long.
That.
You don't complete me.
Forget you.
Oh, I like that song a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a myth that your spouse completes you. Now, it feels like they do.
Mm-hmm.
Totally feels like they do. I get it. It feels like you complete me. If you weren't here, I would be so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously so sad. But you do not complete me. And if I believe that you complete me, I come into our marriage as an incomplete person. And that sucks for the vitality and the wellness of our marriage. If I'm coming in, it's like I said, I have 2 feet, but I'm going to tape this 1 foot to my other thigh so I can't use it because you complete me. You give me my other leg.
Were you alive before we met?
Yes, I was alive before we met. Was I complete then?
Yeah.
I think I was.
Okay. Are you, in chemistry terms, are you super saturated now? There's dehydrated, there's like saturated, and then super saturated with something weird molecules where it's like it's more full than full.
Right.
It's something weird. John, our neighbor, would know because he's a chemist. But I just remember that from like high school. No, you were alive before we met, right? And nothing I did or didn't do or give you or whatever made you more of Melanie, super saturated.
Right,
you can't
right,
be
right.
more than you already are, right?
True.
However, in a good, thriving, healthy growth mindset marriage that's done an assload of work,
mm-hmm.
I encourage you to be better on a billion different
yeah.
things. You encourage me to be better on a billion different things, right? Am I alive? Can I work? Can I function without you? I did before I met you.
Right.
So why can't I now? Right?
Right. Yes. And
of course, it would be sad. And there also the research also bears out like couples who are together, they like share cells. And I'm not just talking about like sex and stuff like that, but there is a part of you
mm-hmm.
like just, I mean, when you're together, I forget what it's called, but it's real. I'm not just making it up and it's not some hippy dippy weirdo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like part of like your biome actually is in me now.
Oh yeah, for
you
sure.
You know what I'm saying? And it's mm-hmm. definitely in you. Kind
I
of
gave
thing.
You my SCOBY. My symbiotic colony of bacterial yeast.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what to do now.
That is funny.
But no, you don't complete me. If mm-hmm. you are thinking that your spouse should complete you, or if you're a, you know, or your fiance, your boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, you're dead wrong on that, and you're going to be disappointed. You
be miserable.
Are a fully functioned kick-ass adult already.
Right.
Maybe you don't realize that. Maybe that's an upper limit problem. Maybe it's self-limiting beliefs. It could be a whole host of stuff. It's incumbent upon you to realize those things, to work on them, to identify, right? To become aware, awareness is curative, and then go, I'm going to work on this no matter if you like it or not.
Right.
Again, don't be a douchebag around it. Hey, I'm going to run this marathon and be gone extra 6 hours a day because it's good for me. Peace out, B.
Right.
No, that's no good.
No.
Get up an hour earlier. Go to bed an hour later. Do all your stuff around the house that you need to do and to improve yourself. Like, yeah. So I don't even know. Kind of went on a tangent there, but it's a thing.
A little bit. But like the you complete me vibes are not great. And if you're thinking that your spouse does and will somehow complete you, one, you're burdening them. Just know that. So I was doing this to Seth. Like
that's huge.
I was literally, I would ask him, God, forgive me. I would be like, if I died, would you remarry? And he'd be like, probably. And I'd be like, what? Oh, like, what was I thinking? I was so stupid. I would ask him that. And then I would get mad at his answer, which was balanced and healthy.
Now you guys go vote on who's the drama thing. We need to do an Instagram poll on that quickly.
Yeah. But so it's so unhealthy to put all your eggs in that basket. It's not, put your eggs in your own basket. Don't put them in your partner's. And the thing that I think is really cool too, I think of this as just like you encourage different sort of elements of who I am as a person to thrive. Like you help me to become a better person. So do my friends. So do my kids. Mm-hmm. So do this is my family, right? So I think that we need to look at ourselves and our relationships more complexly and stop putting, again, like all of our eggs in that basket, because Seth does not complete me. If
right.
he dies right now, I'm still a human. I still have kids. I still have a life. I still have a mortgage to pay and dreams to pursue.
Right. So really think about that question and take heart on it. Because if your spouse is new to this growth mindset journey or the self-improvement, all this stuff, they have enough to figure out on their own.
Right.
So don't be the wife. Don't be the husband that
is burdening them.
But like, oh, listen, I made some realizations in my own life. I'm trying to get my shit together and I'm like 1% there. Okay. So don't bring your stuff. Now, do I love you? Am I going to support you? Yes. But for the love of the Lord, I'm trying to get my stuff together.
Right.
I can't do it for both of us.
Right.
Right.
So flip that one around. My spouse completes me. Nope, nope, nope.
You complete yourself.
You complete yourself. And you are already a complete and whole person. Look to yourself for support. Of course, they're going to, you know, we want all of those things as a good outcome of this relationship. But honestly, start understanding that you are already a badass. You are already full and whole and complete. And when you figure that out, you come to the relationship so much stronger.
That's right.
Than hoping, wishing, praying, forcing your spouse to complete you.
If you realize some of this stuff, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I am a badass, but how the hell do I do that? Email us hello@anatomyofmarriage.com and we'll talk about coaching, you guys.
Yeah.
And if you don't need coaching, if you're not ready for that, that's completely fine. Go to getfaithful.com/anatomymarriage to get some healing from past stuff or whatever. But you guys, if any of this resonates with you, seriously, go and email us hello@anatomymarriage.com to talk about coaching. We have so many emails and it's so much fun too. It's like, hey, you helped me see a lot of things. Now I'm actually kicking ass.
Yeah.
Now actually we're having more sex. Now actually we're doing this, right? And like sometimes it takes a long time to get there, like 3 months of coaching kind of thing. And then boom, it clicks. We're like, this is a new world.
Yeah,
that happened to us.
Great.
That happened to so many of our clients too. So if this sounds good to you, seriously do that. Hello@anatomyofmarriage.com. What a good topic. For real.
That's exactly right.
Good job.
But boom. So 5 myths that are not real in marriage and they need to die. And we love you guys. If you appreciate this show, please make sure that you go to iTunes and rate and review. Just have your mom. We should have your mom read our credits.
That'd
like,
be awesome.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny. Anyway, please rate and review our show on iTunes if you love what we're doing and if it's helped you at all. No one gives two craps about what we say about ourselves, but they love what you have to say about us.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we love you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
All right. Later, guys.
Bye.